conduct and sign the Holy Spirit conduct agreement. The first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Chapter 1, verse 18, 1 Corinthians. Verse 21, for since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Jews request sign, and the Greeks seek for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and the Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Glory be to God. Amen. Yesterday I was speaking of how did we attain happiness, and how God created man. The first parents, he created them in the paradise garden of Eden, and God also hoped that man himself becomes a paradise. As God is the source of joy and happiness, he hopes that every one of us also be share in this characteristic, and he becomes or she becomes a source of joy and happiness to himself or herself and to others. God and his hosts also find their pleasure in man. You can't imagine how God truly looks to you, especially for everyone by his name or her name. Today, I want to tell you just a short story. When they asked me to speak about our God, the God of impossibilities, I returned back to 1960, when I was admitted to Faculty of Art, Department or Section of Philosophy. The examiner, I have an oral exam in philosophy of Islam, and especially the Christians were in trouble when they were examined in philosophy of Islam or Islamic philosophy, because sometimes they entered in dialogue with the examiner. You know, in Egypt, not like here in the United States, it is too hard for any student to enter in argument with the professor. When the examiner knew that I have already finished my study in business or commerce, then he asked me some questions. Why you are admitted to this faculty? Then he asked me a question. Do you believe God will marry you on the last day? How do you believe that? How Christians believe that God will marry me? And I remember I spent more than about an hour in discussing this matter. And at last he said, I couldn't imagine that Christians believe in God in this way. In the same way also, in Jersey City from about 3 or 4 years, one of these Islamic leaders visited me and he asked me a question. How do you believe that you are children of God? And when I spoke with him, while we are in arguments, and directly he said, oh, as we are children of God, we have to do so and so. I said, and when you start your dialogue, you said to me, how do you believe that you are children of God? And now you speak about yourself and the Muslims, we as children of God do so and so. In fact, Christianity differs from other religions in a very important point. God for many religions is an ideal. He is isolated in heaven. He is living in his heaven and we are living here in this world. And he moves us according to his own will, as if we are his own game or his own play. In Christianity, we believe God is not isolated. He is more nearer to me than myself. God is God of the impossibilities. What we believe it is impossible, for God it is his joy, and it is his pleasure, and it is his divine nature or law. When you ask yourself, do you think God became man? God is crucified on behalf of me. I think even to the angels before the incarnation of the Lord of the Logos, these questions were very difficult, and Saint Paul said that these things are mysteries of God, which was hidden even from the heavenly hosts. Even the heavenly hosts were astonished when the Logos of God, the Word of God, became man. For them it is impossible how God became man. It is impossible for them to see that the Word of God was crucified by hands of men. They couldn't imagine before the crucifixion that the Logos could be crucified by human hands. This is our faith. God is God of impossibilities. And when we believe in God as God of impossibilities, it means he grants us what is impossible to be very impossible for us. The first Coptic sermon found between the manuscripts, you can read in it, in the first homily which had been discovered. When we believe in Jesus Christ that he is the Son of God, it is not for himself, it is for us. For we receive him, therefore we have new abilities. When we say, my God is the God of impossibilities, it means God who is dwelling in my heart is God of impossibilities. Therefore, I am not afraid from anything. I remember from more than 10 years in one of the churches in Cairo asked me to speak about the challenges of the world which the Christian faces.
Then I said, the subject, the title is wrong. We can't say that there are challenges and I face these challenges of the world. On the opposite, I have authority and I feel I challenge the world, not the world challenges me. I am more stronger than the world. The problem, sometimes we look to the church a bit as if she is in a corner and she can't feel the world. Why? Do you believe that your God is God of impossibilities? Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is more stronger than the world? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit has the power even on your carnal desires and all circumstances? The problem we do not discover who is God, who is dwelling within us. I will give you just some examples from the Old and New Testaments how truly men of God challenges death itself, challenges kings, challenges time, and so on, even nature itself. And I will start with Moses. And the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32, verse 48. Deuteronomy, 32, verse 48. Then the Lord spoke to Moses the very same day, saying, go up this mountain of the Abarim, Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, across from Jericho, view the land of Canaan, which I give to the children of Israel as a possession, and die on the mountain which you ascend, and be gathered to your people. So, what do you think if God says to any person, leave this place, go to this other place, and ascend on the mountain, and there you will die? He will say, oh, I will not go. Why go to die? Moses at that time was about 120 years old. If a person about 120 years old, and God asked him to leave his place, not only to go to another place, but to ascend a mountain until the top, and he was asked to be alone, and he will die there. I remember in the event of the flight crash, many people asked me why God permits that those people will they die and they didn't find their bodies. And they said, oh, we didn't have the chance to bring the body, the corpse, and to pray the funeral service and so on. What do you think about Moses? He was ascending to the mountain. He hasn't with him his wife, nor the children, nor the high priest, none to bury him. And if you ask him, where are you going? I am going to die. Will you take any of your relatives with you? He says, no. Who will bury you? It is not my question. I will leave it in the hands of God. Who will pray? In the same chapter, the second chapter, 34, verse 6, and he, Yehu, God, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab. It is a unique funeral service. Moses died, nobody was beside him, God alone with his angels, and I don't imagine how the funeral service had been fulfilled, or who was present. I think many of the angels, and then God buried him by himself. Sometimes you say, oh, how lucky was Moses that God himself would be, he buried him and he was taking care of his funeral service. I am not speaking about Moses in the burial of his body or the funeral service, but I am speaking about the spirit of Moses when God asks him to ascend on the mountain to die. He didn't care who will accompany him. He didn't care about what about the service, what about the burial, and so on. He was very strong. He believed that he is above all the circumstances. Even he has victory over death. He didn't care about death itself. This is the spirit of Moses even before the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Then when we say our God, God is, he is God of impossibilities, it is my, he is my God. I have victory over death. You can read chapter 15 from the first epistle of the Corinthians, when Saint Paul spoke about his victory over the last enemy, death itself. Then don't worry even of death, because through God of impossibilities, you are very strong. I give you another example. The three young men who were in captivity, and they challenged not only death, but they challenged also the nature of fire. The king of Babylon threatened them, and he said, when he asked them, who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? In Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Who is the God who will deliver you from my hands? The three young people who were in captivity said to the king of Babylon, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They challenged the king, and they were not afraid even of nature. They believed that God lent them strength to overcome the nature of fire. We have no need to answer you in this much. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will. They were very sure. They said, He will deliver us from your hand, O King. But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. The king said to the counselors in verse 24, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is the like of the Son of God. Sometimes we say, I am afraid of death. Remember Moses and said, oh, if Moses had the power and he had the desire to put his life in the hands of God, even in the last moments, he believed he is not in need of any person to support him. He accepted to ascend by himself on the mountain, although he was very, very old, and he put all the matter in the hands of God. Don't be afraid. I'll tell you a story. After the crash of the flight, I heard that. I don't know if it is right or not, but it is. I heard it from a priest. One of the priests who used to come to celebrate the feast here in the United States, after this event, he was sick and he was admitted to the hospital. One of the bishops visited him on the first day. The priest said to him, please, your grace, say to His Holiness, I am afraid of taking any flight again. Please ask him that I will not go to the United States again. I will not take any flight again. He was afraid. On the next day, he died in the hospital. He was afraid from flying on the plane. He died on his bed in the second day in the hospital. Why are we afraid of death? We have to challenge death itself and to be full of hope. Christianity means to have the abilities or the energies of God, and to be proud, not of your own self, to be proud of the new abilities. St. Paul, who confessed that he was very weak, many times he said that he could do everything in Jesus Christ. He had the feeling of pride in the Lord Jesus Christ. He felt that he was guided by the Holy Spirit, the spirit of strength and might, not the spirit of despair and fear. If you say, I am in a problem, it looks like a fire. I don't know how can I be clever or safe from these problems. Remember those three young people. They challenged the king. And they said to him, God will deliver us from your hands. They didn't say, oh, we are just captives. We are very young. He grants us many favors and gifts, and we are far away from our country. What would happen? Millions and millions of the people are worshipping the gold image. We can pass it just. He didn't ask them to leave their worship. He said, okay, we can do that, and at the same time we repent. No. They felt that they were very strong, they can challenge fire and its nature, And the king discovered that a fourth person was walking with them in the fire, as if they were in a garden. Sometimes we ask why my life looks like a fire. Okay. Do you feel there are many problems in your life? Lift your heart up and ask Him to work in you and not to take off this fire from you or to take you off from this fire, but to change fire into a garden. Every day in the church hymns, we say the hymn of those three young people. Why? Because we believe the church is in the fire, in the fiery furnace of this world. Persecution, and the church is persecuted unceasingly until now. But the church is very happy because God changes fire into a garden. You say, although I am surrounded by fire, but I feel I am in the paradise. And I have the power to sing songs and to rejoice even while I am amongst these problems and troubles. Then we challenge death like Moses. We challenge nature of fire like the three young people. We also challenge the nature of even wild beasts like Daniel. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, the king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel was in the den. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 12. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? This is the experience of the non-believer king. He said to them, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in his God. I want to make a comparison between Daniel, the captive person who is in the den among the angry lions, and between the king. The king was in his palace. He was very upset. He couldn't see anybody. He even asked his men not to bring any of his women. He wanted to spend the night alone. He didn't eat all the day and night. He couldn't sleep. He was upset. What about Daniel? Daniel was thrown in the den. I can't say what about his feelings. He trusted in God. He didn't care what the lions will do with him. They are very angry, and he is alone among many lions. Naturally, the lions will never leave anything of him, even if it has bones, because they were very angry. On the contrary, he looked at them, trying to make some fun. And he started to spend the night with those lions as with his friends. And he looked at an Egypt descendant and clothing or shutting the mouths of the lions. When we will see Daniel on the last day, I think all of us will see. And we ask him, what do you think in your life, what is the most joyful day you spent? He would say, oh, the day or the night which I have spent in the lion's den. I was as if in heaven itself. I saw the angel, I spoke with him, we were friends. I hope that I will not be taken up out of them then, because I have one of the heavenly friends with me. Even the wild animals, the wild beasts, the lions were angry. Instead of eating or devouring me, they were playing and making fun. Truly, I was lucky. It is the most joyful day in my life. This is the will of our God, God of impossibilities. Why others say, oh, how this person is very poor, why he is in many troubles, and so on. You inside yourself, you are in the paradise, and you say, oh, I am in fact like Daniel in the lion's den. I spent a very joyful time with the angel. I see even the nature of the wild beasts has been changing. How great is my God? How strong is he? I don't like to see Christians very weak. I ask you, why we are afraid? Perhaps you say, oh, we want to be practical. We have many problems. I want you to have just an experience to live in Jesus Christ and to see how all your circumstances, I don't say will be changed, your inner man will be changed and everything will be changed for you. Instead of putting on black glasses and see everything black, you will put on the glasses of Jesus Christ and you will acknowledge the divine plan and you will be truly joyful. You will rejoice unceasingly. I hope that I see all the church is a community of joy. The prophet says, may the weak one say that I am hero. When you say I am afraid, God will take off his hand from you and you will be in trouble. He does not work with those who are afraid. He wants his believers to trust in him and to believe that they are very strong and they challenges all the world, all the circumstances, even death itself. St. John Chrysostom wrote two discourses or booklets under the title. No one can hurt you or hurt a man unless he or she hurt herself or himself. And he speaks of death, illness, enemies, bad or evil circumstances, events. He said, nothing can make me hurt. I alone hurt myself. Don't look to the problems from outside you. Look to the problems through your inner sight. And don't put the problems above your head. Put your feet on the problems and believe that you are very strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look to the past, we discover in all our troubles, God changes what is grief into what is joyful. And what we appeared that we were very weak, we became very strong. I hope to start now and to believe in your God that He is God of impossibilities. Perhaps you say, how can I start it? We are in need at first to trust in Him. If I have any problem, instead of calling my friends or trying to find the solution by any human means, I start by praying to God. And then I can do any other thing. But I give the priority to God Himself. I remember one of the members of our church in Alexandria in the 60s. She has cancer in her brain. And she went to the doctor. He was professor in the cancer of brain. He made many, many operations. And all these operations were successful. And you know, in the 60s, cancer, especially for brain, was very dangerous. And those who suffered from it were very upset. She went to the doctor and he said to her, there is a tumor in the brain and it is cancer, he has to make an operation. Since she said to him about the rate of success of this operation, he said to her, are you Christian? She said, yes. When you are worshiping God, she said, in St. George's Port in Alexandria. And you ask me this question? He said, why do you say that? He said, not me, it is God Himself who makes the operation. Before I put my hand to start the operation, I ask Him to work through me. Do you believe that your life is in the hands of God? If you have this belief, then don't ask this question. And he made the operation for her, and it was successful. Although he was professor and he was well known, not only in Egypt, but even overseas, but he trusted in God, even in his daily work. Do you have the same feelings? You feel that you are in the hands of God, supported by Him and guided by His Holy Spirit. before asking even your father in confession, do you ask God Himself? Before saying, oh, I have many experience in doing so and so, do you believe in the divine wisdom? Don't trust only on your experience or your abilities or energies or talents or so. I remember one of the deacons who devoted all his life on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ is called Yusuf Habib. I think many of us perhaps knows him. He wrote many books. While he was very young, a priest from old Cairo said to him, Ma'adis Yusuf, the Marashi Ma'alim is somebody, an archdeacon, is very old, and I think his feet had pain or the grief. He expected within some days the archdeacon would die. Can you search for another archdeacon? And Yusuf said to me, in the same week the priest died, and this person lived 20 years after his death. When we use our human wisdom, it is totally different than the wisdom of God. Don't say it is my experience, it is logic, it is by nature. I do not ignore them. But we have to sanctify our experience, our wisdom, our talents, our energies. We have to sanctify all these by the work of the Holy Spirit. I hope that God grants, I hope that He may grant all of us truly to believe in Him and to be supported with Him. Glory be to God. Amen.